Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? I am so happy to see each and every one of you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway, and we just echo what Liana said. We're just so glad that you're here, and we welcome you here today. Next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday. Is a special Sunday. We will not be having our normal 10 o'clock service that usually occurs here every Sunday morning. Instead, we will be having our Christmas candlelight service, and that will be Sunday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. Everybody say 6 o'clock p.m. Next Sunday, all right? So I'd like everyone to come, bring someone with you. We're going to have photo booth. I've heard rumors that Santa is going to be here. I know he's really busy, but I've heard rumors that he's going to be here to take pictures with kids. We're going to have gift bags for the kids. We're going to have story time with the children, all kinds of great things that are going to happen. But most importantly, we're going to preach a life-changing message and a message of hope, all right? And so if you have any people that you know need some hope in your life, I encourage you to bring them next Sunday. It's going to be great. It's one of the really the most special services that we do over the course of the entire year, and so we're looking forward to you being here for that. So if you come next Sunday at 10, just stay in the parking lot. We'll eventually get here, all right? We encourage you to be here. Well, as you guys have been hearing me announce the last several weeks, December 23rd, we are closing on our new building. And so you've heard me announce that, you know, probably, you know, 6 or 7 weeks ago, we needed 40,000, and then it was 30, and then it was 20. We are so close to getting there. And so I know, in fact, this week, I received some checks in the mail from some of you guys. I know a bunch of you were online, giving online towards our building campaign. And so if you could just help us kind of cross that threshold, and anything that you give for the building fund in your service guide, there's a white envelope just right at the top of that building campaign. Drop that in the green giving kiosks, and I believe that God is just going to really help us get to the goal where we need to be, and it's going to be a super Merry Christmas for the Lifeway Church. And so I just wanted to let you know about that. So once again, no pressure, but as I sent an email out this week, however God leads you to give, we just want you to be obedient to that, and when we're obedient to what God asks us to do, how many of you know there's always enough? Amen. Amen. But one of the things we do every service is we welcome those in our church who are part of our online audience through the miracle of technology. And so let's give all of our online guests a great big hand. We're so thankful for you guys, and we love you and appreciate you. Well, today we're going to start a two-part mini-series entitled Christmas Classics. Christmas Classics. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a classic Christmas song and pull out a phrase or two from that song and teach on that idea. And so I know some of you, your minds are racing. Well, I wonder what songs he's going to do. And probably some of the younger ones are probably thinking, well, I hope he does Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Listen, that's not one of the songs, all right? There's not much saving grace that we can pull out of that except for stay away from the spiked eggnog. And maybe some of you need to say amen to that right now, all right? Yeah, that got a few chuckles and a few oohs. But my prayer is that these messages will change the way that you hear these songs in the future. Today we're going to look at the classic Christmas carol, O Holy Night, which was written in the mid-1800s. The story behind how the song was written was actually pretty unique and interesting. A Catholic priest asked a French poet by the name of Placide Capot to write a poem about the second chapter of Luke. And what was ironic about this is that Capot was not only not a Christian, but he actually had the reputation in town of being somewhat of the old term we used to use as kind of a hellraiser. He just kind of caused problems wherever he went. And while he was a great poet, he never attended church. His heart was far from God. But Capot, for whatever reason, he sat down, he read through the second chapter of Luke, and he wrote this poem. And he ended up liking it so much that he went to one of his friends who is a musician, also not a Christian, and he asked if he would put it to music. And so the rest is history. The song has become a treasured classic that has been recorded and performed by many artists and sung in churches ever since. Another interesting thing about this is that in 1906, a 33-year-old Canadian professor and inventor by the name of Reginald Fessenden did what many people thought was impossible. In his garage, he invented an early form of what we know to be the radio, and he conducted the very first AM broadcast on Christmas Eve. And legend has it that for this broadcast, he shared the Christmas story by reading the second chapter of Luke, and then he took out his violin, and the first song broadcast across the airwaves in the history of the world was this song, O Holy Night. Why don't you take a listen? I can only imagine what it would have been like to be there on the fateful night that Jesus was born. The manger scene actually means a lot to me personally because when I was a child, decorating for Christmas was such a big tradition. It was a big to-do in our household. It seemed like for weeks leading up to decorating day, we'd be stringing popcorn with a cranberry added to add color every foot. Come on, anybody ever string popcorn garland before for their tree? And we'd love pulling out the ornaments, which were all tied to precious memories from vacations and activities and school classes, and we would reminisce as each ornament was unwrapped. But my favorite thing to do was to set up this beautiful, lifelike, hand-painted porcelain nativity set. In fact, there's a picture coming up behind me. In fact, in all of my life, I've never seen anything quite like it. I've looked. In fact, of all the things my parents have, it's the one thing that I've asked that when they end their journey would be passed on to me. But the set included this baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, animals, and even an angel that hung above. And year after year, we would carefully unwrap it. And it would be set out on top of what my parents called angel hair. Now, it's not in that picture, but there was this angel hair, which was a spun glass type of a fiber, very, you know, kind of like in my mind, I thought, well, this must be what angel hair looks like. And so as beautiful, but year after year after we would unwrap this, it would be so wonderful. But it, you know, as I looked at this, the realism of it captured my young imagination, and as I would gaze into it, the lights would be off in the living room, and I'd just look at it, and I'd often picture myself being a part of that story. And as beautiful as we picture the nativity scene in our minds, and I'm sure many of you have memories attached to maybe the nativity that was in your home as you grew up, it actually does a disservice to us in understanding what that night actually was. Because the reality was, is here is this teenage girl, Mary, who was 9 months pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And Mary and her teenage fiancé, Joseph, by order of the government, have to travel somewhere between 80 and 120 miles to be registered. Now, those of you who have had children, your spouse has had a child here. Now, I want you to picture this. Your spouse is 9 months pregnant. Pregnant, can hardly move, and you tell her, hey baby, get up on this donkey. Eventually they make the long journey into Bethlehem, and there's no place to stay. All of the inns are booked up that night because of the Christmas holiday rush. Some of you will get that later. A lot of scholars believe that where Mary actually gave birth was really like a cave. It was a place where the animals would go to shelter and to hunker down in times of rough weather. And so Mary is about to give birth in what has to be one of the worst possible environments to have a baby. I mean, we're talking about unsterile, no epidural. I want you just imagine, just picture a 16-year-old girl likely screaming her head off. I mean, even with the modern birthing centers we have today and the slight relief that the pain medications can provide and professionally trained medical staff, the echo of my wife crying out in agony during childbirth will forever be etched into my mind. And so with Josiah, Shyla made the decision. Josiah was our firstborn to deliver the baby naturally, meaning she was going to do it without receiving an epidural. And so that was the plan. We had talked about it with the doctors. And so we go into labor, and she had a long, drawn-out labor. And that idea quickly faded once she got into the serious part of labor. But unfortunately, by the time she changed her mind, it was too late. And so when our second two were born, she was like, not again, I'm getting the epidural, give it to me right now, I'll take it now, you know. And I vividly remember the anesthesiologist coming in to put that needle in her spine, and I am not going to lie to you, I almost passed out watching that. You know, so if you can imagine, if you can put yourself there, the night Jesus was born, no medical doctors, no nurses, no comfortable beds, none of the modern conveniences we have. In fact, no lights other than the rays of an unsteady flickering campfire. It had to be chaos inside of this little cave, screaming and panic and worry. I mean, Mary's mother wasn't even there to help talk her through this as she gives birth to the Son of God. And so this song, "O Holy Night," is so majestic, and Tiffany gets up here and it just flows out and it's so effortless, it's so beautiful. But that night was nothing like what we picture in our minds. And so today, this morning, the lyric from the song that I want to focus on is, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and a glorious morn." And I don't know about you, but as I think about the world we live in, if there are two words that accurately describe the day in which we live today, "weary world" hits the nail right on the head. There's so much anxiety, so much depression, anger, and fear. Relationships are broken. It seems like every extended family has someone who's battling some form of serious illness. The family unit is crumbling. Children are struggling. Many are fighting to simply keep their heads above water. It's so overwhelming. And perhaps you walked in here this morning and you can totally relate to the phrase, "the weary world." But what I love about this song is that it says, "There is still a thrill of hope." Imagine in the chaos of this holy night, as bad as it seemed to be, there was still hope. Because those who had been putting their faith in God for centuries up to that point, they had hoped, they had longed for the day that Messiah would be born. And because of that day, from that point forward, everything was going to be different. Because of this thrill of hope, the weary world is now able to rejoice. Are you glad about it this morning? And so I want to encourage you here today, if you're tired, if you're worn, if it seems as if your night will never end, my prayer is that you will leave this room today having experienced the thrill of hope, because the Savior was born. And I'm here to tell you that a new and a glorious morning is available to you today. One encounter with Jesus, and the sun is going to shine again. In the Old Testament, there's a book called Lamentations, which was written after the city of Jerusalem fell. And the people of Israel were absolutely distraught to see that their capital city was laying in ruins. And in this book, the prophet Jeremiah, he's lamenting and he's putting out his thoughts. He's hurting along with everyone else. And so in the first two chapters of the book, he's basically pouring out his pain that is in his heart. But then in chapter 3, there's almost like a switch happens where he moves from this mourning into a moment of faith. And that's what I want to focus on. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 20. You can take out your sermon outline, follow along with us. I encourage you to take some notes with us. But this is what it says beginning in verse 20. It says, "I will remember them." And then he says, "My soul is downcast within me." Here Jeremiah is acknowledging the fact that there have been some significant life-altering difficulties going on in his world. Watch this, verse 21, he says, "Yet I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." I love this, I love this. Even though the situation looks bleak, I remember, he says, I remember what God has done. And I also remember what God can do. And therefore, I know it to be true that even though the situation looks bleak, I still have hope. Verse 22, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail." I love this. Verse 23, "They are new every morning." Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And this is what I want you to understand this morning, that it is amazing. It is amazing what a new day with Christ can bring your life. And so this morning, I'm going to share with you out of this text three truths that can bring hope when your world is in darkness. Three truths that can bring you a thrill of hope when your weary world is in darkness. Here's the first one, number one in your outline. The first blanket says, a new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. Every new day with Christ will bring you exactly what you need. Now, I didn't say that Jesus will bring us whatever we want, because often what we need and what we want are two different things. The prophet wrote, Lamentations 3:24, I say to myself, and I love that. I just want to pause there for a second. Growing up, my parents are here today. I'm probably going to get yelled at later, not really, but I heard my dad say hundreds of times, I said to myself, self, and then he'd go on and say whatever he told himself. And as kids, we would laugh and laugh and laugh, and we kind of poke fun at him. But you know what? There's so much wisdom in that statement. Because every now and then, you just have to talk to yourself. Every now and then, you've got to preach to yourself some truth that you know to be true. Because here's the truth. Our enemy is a liar. He is constantly speaking things into our minds that are not true, that are self-defeating. In fact, the Bible says David, he encouraged himself in the Lord. We need to open up God's word. We need to repeat his promises. We need to call it to mind. So the prophet said, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And this actually is referring back to the days when the children of Israel, they were wandering around in the desert. They hadn't yet received their promise. Is there anybody here in the room today that God has told you some things, but you haven't quite yet received the promise? Yes, 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 yes. But watch this. Even in the desert, even when they hadn't received what God told them he was going to do, God still provided manna for their daily needs. And so every morning, the children of Israel, they would wake up and this manna would cover the ground and God would give them exactly enough food for the day. They would collect that manna and they would use it to make bread. In fact, scripture tells us that when they would try to hoard more, like take more than what they need, because the instruction was only take what you need, by the next morning, it would simply rot. And so what God was trying to teach them and what he's trying to teach us is that we need him each and every single day. In fact, Jesus taught us the same thing when he said, give us today, give us this day our daily bread. Why? Because we need to learn to depend on him daily. And so Jeremiah, he says, I need to remind myself. I've got to tell myself that even though the situation looks bleak, I'm reminding myself that God is my daily portion. And whatever I am looking for, he is exactly what I need in that day. He is exactly there to provide my provision. And so no matter what tomorrow may bring, God is already in it. Not only is he there, but he has everything that you're going to need. And so if you're here this morning and your marriage is struggling, what I hope you'll understand is that God is in tomorrow and he's waiting for you and he has what you and your marriage need. If you're sitting here today and you're feeling weak in your body, God is already in tomorrow and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. If you're down and if you're depressed, he's already in tomorrow because he is our joy. He is the lifter of our head. And so a new day with Christ always brings exactly what you need. Here's the second truth, number two. A new day with Christ brings us the hope to keep going. It brings us the hope to keep going. It's the thrill of hope in a weary world. It's the thrill of hope and faith when all we can see around us is darkness. It's the belief that even in the middle of the chaos of night, that morning is going to eventually come.
Verse 25 says, the Lord is good to those whose what? Hope is in him. To the one who seeks him. And while I think that this is impossible to quantify, it's interesting that someone once wrote, he said that man can live about 40 days without food. And he can live about a week without water in the right conditions and about 8 minutes without oxygen. But someone can only live for 1 second without hope. And listen, today there are too many people who are trying to survive while living a hope-deprived life. Proverbs 13:12 tells us that hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. And so often we struggle because we put our hope in the wrong places. We put our hope in the wrong things. We put our hope in a company and it lets us down. We put hope in another person, and how many of you know other people don't always come through like they say they're going to come through? We put our hope in government, and they don't keep their promises. Can I get a good amen, somebody? And what happens is after enough failed attempts of putting our hope in the wrong places, our heart gets sick. And we start to end up feeling hopeless in a weary world, and we're wondering, hey, is there anything good out there? Anybody ever been there before? But Paul said in Hebrews 10:23, he tells us what to do. Let us hold unswervingly. I love that word. Circle it, underline it, write it down. Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Watch this. For he who promised is what? He is faithful. And I love the picture that this verse paints. Let us hold on to it. Let us grab hold. And even though life is all topsy and turvy and just turbulent, we're just gonna hold on. We're gonna grab hold of the hope that we profess, and we're gonna never let go. Why? Because God, he is faithful, and he has promised, come what may, that he will never leave us and that he will never forsake us. And so too many people today, they're letting go of the hope that we should profess. And instead, they're grabbing onto fear and worry and anxiety over the darkness of the night, over their situation. We're letting go of the truth of God's word, and instead we're hanging on to all of the whispers and the lies of the devil. Let me challenge you this morning. Hang on to the promises of God and never lose hope. Because a new day with Christ can change everything. I love this verse, Psalms 35, verse 5. Weeping may last through the night, but what happens? Joy comes with the morning. And I believe that God brought someone into this room to hear this morning, don't let go of hope. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't cash it in. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Understand, it may be dark right now. It may be dark for a little while, but I promise you, there is a new day coming. If you'll just hang on until the morning, there is a weary world, yes, but in the weariness, we still have a hope, and that is a God who will never leave us and never forsake us. A new day with Christ will bring exactly what we need. It will bring us the hope to keep going. And here's the last truth, number three. A new day with Christ brings the help that you are seeking. It brings the help that you are seeking. Verse 26 tells us, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And I know that we don't like to hear this in our right now culture, which often demands instant gratification, but at times it's good to wait. Some of us in this room, we need to experience the salvation of our souls. We need to come to the realization that we need to be saved and we need to be forgiven by God. There are others here who have already been born again. They've been born into the family of God, and you need to be saved out of a difficult situation. Listen, please never lose sight of the fact that there is nothing that God cannot do in a moment. We cannot fathom the difference that one day with Christ can make. Let me give you some examples. Lazarus, in the New Testament, Bible tells us that he had been dead for 4 days. King James Version describes it best when it described the condition of Lazarus' body very, 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 you know, scientific and very proper. It said, "He stinketh." 4 days had passed, and in the heat of the day, the body had begun to decay to the point that it smelled. In other words, Lazarus was dead, dead, dead. Everyone had given up hope, but Jesus, he shows up 4 days after the fact, and he looks at the stone and he tells the people, "Hey, move it out of the way." Find it interesting. How did they know he stunk if the stone was in front of the hole? That's how bad he stunk. And then he looks into the grave and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus walks out. Listen, I'm here to tell you that if Lazarus could be up on this stage today and speak to us, he'd tell us that it's amazing the difference that one day and one encounter with Jesus Christ can make into our lives. There was another woman who for 12 years, she was suffering with an issue of blood. And the Bible tells us that she had spent everything she had trying to be cured. And she had this pain and this embarrassment and the humiliation, the suffering. 12 years of battling this. And every day she would get up and she'd go to this doctor and that doctor. And hoping that maybe this will be the day. Maybe today's the day that I'm going to find healing and relief. Only to be disappointed over and over again. And then one day she had heard about Jesus. And she sees him walking through the crowd. And so she pushes her way through. And in a moment of desperation, she doesn't even say anything to Jesus. She falls to her knees and to her feet. And she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And instantly she is healed. And if she were here today, she tells, you can't describe the difference that one day, that one moment with Jesus Christ can make in your life. Another crippled man who was at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the water to be stirred so that he could be healed. One day, Jesus, he walks up to him and says, "Pick up your bed and walk." And after 38 years of being unable to take care of himself, this man simply gets up and he walks away. And if he was here this morning, he'd tell us, "Hey, it's amazing the difference that one moment with Christ will make in your life." And so some of you, right now, you've got to hear this. You are in the midst of a weary world. And I'm speaking the truth of God's word and faith. There is a thrill of hope that will make your weary world rejoice. There's a new and a glorious morning that is coming. You may look at your marriage and think, "Well, man, we're too far gone. It can never be repaired. Too much has happened." Listen, I'm telling you, God can restore your marriage. It's amazing one day with Christ can make. Some of you, you're here and you're sick in your body, or someone that you love is sick in your body. And I'm telling you that we still serve a God who's able to do miracles, who's still able to heal, right? And whether he heals or he doesn't heal the way that we think he should, in the presence of God and in his goodness, it's amazing the difference that one day in Christ can make. And so some of you right now, you're in the middle of a dark night. And just like the night that Jesus was born, it's painful. In fact, some of you have cried as you've laid unable to sleep, tossing and turning all night. They're screaming. There's no epidural, and a baby is coming, and it's traumatic, and all this craziness is going on. But all of a sudden, in the middle of this weary world, shrouded in the darkness of nights, I've come to remind you that because Jesus was born, you can have hope. A new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. It gives you the hope to keep going. A new day with Christ will bring you the help that you're seeking. Romans 13:11 says, "The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Watch this, the night is nearly over. Come on, tell your neighbor, the night is nearly over. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. I want to speak a prophetic word to someone today. Reach out to Jesus. I'm here to tell you that the night is nearly over. I know it seems impossible, but hear the words of this simple preacher today. The sun will rise again. You are nearer to your salvation than you were just yesterday. The answer that you're hoping for, the thing that you're longing for, the thing that you've been praying that God needs to intervene, morning is almost here. For some, the salvation that we need is the salvation of our souls. Others, it's the salvation out of the dark situation in our lives. Listen, I want you to understand that Jesus is not buried in a tomb somewhere. He is risen, and he is powerful. And like we sang about earlier, he is a miracle working God. He is a way maker when there seems to be no way. And he has the ability, I want you to hear me, he has the ability to work on your behalf. Because he was born into this weary world, we have a thrill of hope. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. As I mentioned earlier, the song O Holy Night was written by an unbeliever, a non-Christian. And that tells me that you can know the story of Christ without knowing the Savior of the world, without having a relationship in your heart. And I believe that some of you are here this morning because there is a hope that you have been seeking and you've been looking for and you've been longing for. Some of us in this room, we've been looking all over this world for something that fills the void, something that fills the emptiness that's inside of us. And so what do? We try to buy things, and things don't fill the void. And then we try relationships, but relationships don't fill the void. And then we try sex, and sex doesn't fill the void. And so then you try experiences and vacations, and we try money, and we try career, and we try promotion, and we try and try everything that we can find. But yet we still have the void. We're still looking for that hope. Why? Because you need salvation out of the emptiness of this world. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. One day everything that we see here will be gone, and the only thing that will stand is if we've settled our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we've made the choice to follow Jesus, if we've repented, if we've been baptized, if we've been filled with his Spirit, listen, that is the only thing that's going to stand. And that is the only thing that can fill the emptiness in your life. I'm here to tell you, you need a relationship with Jesus. You don't need religion. The God of the world came down to earth so that we could be in relationship with him. Others here, you're sitting here this morning, and you believe, hey, Andrew, listen, I'm pretty good. I'm doing my best to be a good person, and hopefully at the end of my life, my good deeds will outweigh the bad things that I've done, and then I'll experience the salvation of God. Let me just tell you right now, if that's the way you think, that path will lead you to destruction. Because Scripture plainly tells us that no matter what we do, we can never be good enough on our own, because our sin has separated us from a holy God. And so you can try to work hard, and you can try to work your way to Jesus until you're blue in the face. But guess what? You're just going to end up tired, and you're going to end up hopeless in a weary world. But I want you to know there's good news. The good news is that your world today can have the thrill of hope, and that hope, his name is Jesus Christ. The Son of God was born of a virgin. He came to earth all to die on a cross and rise again so that we could be forgiven. And so there are those of you today that you walked into this place and you do not have a life-giving relationship with Jesus. Your heart is far from him. And I promise you today, if you will cry out to him, if you will call out to him, you can be forgiven and you can be changed, and the emptiness that you're trying to fill can be filled today. And so with no one looking around, those in this room that would say, yeah, that's me. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I need salvation. I need forgiveness. I'm ready to surrender my life completely to him. Jesus, take all that I have. Take my life, Lord. I give it all to you. And so if that's you, no one looking around, if that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hands right now? Come on, all across this place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hands all over this place. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Why don't you pray with me? Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for coming to earth. And Lord, we're able to celebrate this season of your coming. Lord God, but it's not about the gifts. It's not about the presents. It's not about the parties. It's not about ugly sweaters and all the things that we've made it to be. But Lord, you came to bring hope to our weary world. And so right now, all across this room, we say yes to you, Jesus. Lord, we repent. That simply means we're going to stop walking our own direction, stop fulfilling the lust of our flesh, and instead, we're going to move after you. We're going to do an about face and move towards you. And so all over, again, or for some, maybe even the first time, we say yes to you, Jesus. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Cleanse me. Heal me. Lord Jesus, there are those in this room that are walking through the midst of a dark, weary night. And Lord, I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would just begin to flow through this place. I know you're speaking to hearts today. And Lord God, that you would strengthen and that you would encourage, Lord God, and that you would just heal and lift up, Lord Jesus. Lord, because morning is going to come. And Lord God, it's all because of you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord God, no matter the situation, no matter the season that we're in, Lord, we fix our eyes on you. You are the author and the finisher. You are the perfecter of our faith, Lord God. And so we look to you, Jesus. And so, Lord, over these experiences, over these times, Jesus, Lord God, I pray that you bring peace, hope, comfort, and joy. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.